It's good to be here today. Today I want to introduce you to a book of the Bible, and in this I have to go through a little bit of this book of the Bible in order to get to the verse I want to get to. And the book, I got to be honest with you, I need to apologize maybe at the beginning, and maybe we should just say ouch before we start because it's a harsh book. So let's just on a count of three say ouch. One, two, three. Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit today. That's the way Hosea is. I don't know any other way to bring it, but it's a powerful book. It's a powerful message, and a lot of times the book of Hosea is not read, and we kind of skip over this guy, and so as we look at the book of Hosea, we want to start in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, when it says, "When the Lord first began to speak to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, 'Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution.' This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Dibliam, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son." The topic today is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. It seems like adultery doesn't bother us like it used to. It seems like adultery is, in our culture, people even sing about it. It seems like they've been singing about it for a little while. If you're listening to the radio, Carrie Underwood may sing a song, Before He Cheats. If you go back a few years ago, maybe there was a lady named Whitney Houston, and she would sing a song called Secret Lover. Maybe that's not far enough back for me. Does anybody remember Barbara Mandrell? Does anybody actually remember Here we go. Raise your hands. Oh, yeah. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be. Yeah. And I know that some of you say, well, you know, that's before my, that, it didn't happen in my day. So when we go way back, now Mark would start mentioning names. I'm not going to mention any names. I will hold my tongue. I think, Charlie, you get beat enough how it is. Mark takes care of you every Sunday. We can pick somebody else if you want to, the person of your choice if you want. If you go back to the day, there was a guy named Billy Paul. Anybody remember Billy Paul? Me and Mrs. Jones, oh yeah, have a thing going on. It seems like our culture has been accepting, I think that's the word, accepting of adultery. Sometimes our culture even expects it. I would tell you that sometimes our culture even celebrates unfaithfulness. And I would say adultery doesn't bother us like it used to. And it should. Adultery doesn't bother us like it used to. And it definitely should. We watch the movies, and it's all over the movie screens. You go to the theaters, it's all, adultery is on the movie screens. You turn on your TV, it's on the TV now. It's amazing how much more they show on TV back in the day when I was a kid. And not as far back, it's been a little ways, but we see a lot more today. Adultery doesn't bother us like it used to. Adultery is messing up our children's lives, if we want to be honest about it. Adultery is flat messing up our youth. It's messing up our children's lives. And as Christians, adultery, it's time for it to start bothering us. As Christians, we should be bothered by it. We shouldn't be accepting of this. And as bad as sexual adultery is, as nasty as it is, as polluted as it is, as messed up as it is, God tells us there's another kind of adultery out there. There's a thing called spiritual adultery. We know all about sexual adultery, but most people don't know anything about spiritual adultery. And spiritual adultery is much worse than sexual adultery. And some of you scratched your head and said, this is a new term for me, spiritual adultery. What is spiritual adultery all about? Well, sexual adultery is what you do to each other. Spiritual adultery is what you do to God. Sexual adultery is when you've been unfaithful to each other. Spiritual adultery is when you're unfaithful to God. And Hosea, the whole book of Hosea deals with this major issue from a minor prophet of unfaithfulness. Hosea simply means to save. That's what Hosea means, to save. And the first message we learn is about obedience. Maybe we all should take notes on that. Maybe we all could become a little bit more obedient when it comes to the calling of God on our lives, when it comes to the Word of God in our lives. We all can improve probably in the area of obedience. Verse 2, God tells Hosea, it's time to get married. Who tells Hosea it's time to get married? God tells him. Single people? Single people, listen close. If you're looking for a spouse, let God be the head of your search committee. Let God be telling you. And young people, let me tell you this. If that guy or that girl, if they're not willing to get close to Jesus, don't you let them get close to you. Amen. Hosea is all right with the idea of getting married. Hosea said, Lord, I'm glad you're telling me it's okay to get married. Matter of fact, I've been preaching down in Judea to a packed house, and I come home to an empty house. I go hold a revival over in Israel, and I'm speaking over in Israel and preaching to a packed house over there, and I come home and I'm just lonely. I have nobody to share my thoughts, my feelings with, and what's happened about the day. I have nobody to celebrate with, and here we are. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to have somebody in my life. I desire that, Lord. Please give that to me. And Hosea, I can see the conversation going on. Hosea said, I was preaching over in Judea the other day, and I was preaching a revival over there. And it was a full revival. Anybody remember the full revivals for a week long? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes 2 weeks. It was pie night. Does anybody remember pie night? I always liked pie night. Pastor Hosea says, Lord, I was eating some pie at pie night after the revival, and there she was. She brought in the prettiest pie you ever seen, and me and her, we were sharing a piece of pie together. Lord, maybe this is the ladies for me. It was like the room didn't exist. We were just eating that pie, and it was just me and her in my mind. The room was packed, but it was just her. Maybe, Lord, she's the one for me. And Lord says, I know who you're talking about. She is going to make a good wife, but she's going to make somebody else a good wife. Well, I'm not gonna get upset over that, but I was preaching over in Israel the other day, and at the end of service, this lady on the front row, she kept giving me this eye, and I was smiling back at her a little bit while I was preaching, and after the service, she's the one. Front steps of the church, and we talked for the longest time. Lord, maybe she's the one. He says, I know who you're talking about, and you're right, she's gonna make a good wife, but she's gonna make somebody else a good wife. Okay, Lord, I can't pick them. Who am I supposed to marry? He said, well, there's a lady named Gomer. And you seen concern come all over Hosea's face. He said, Lord, I only know one Gomer. I only know one Gomer. Is there another Gomer somewhere? So the Gomer I know, Lord, she sells her body in prostitution. She sells her body to the highest bidder. Lord, he said, that's the one. And Hosea, you could see concern, and he begins to think about it, and he says, well, one sin's just as bad as another one. We can't be putting sins on a chart somewhere, and I'm not supposed to be judging. If God says this is the one, this is the one. And Hosea, what does he do? I like this. Hosea obeys. Hosea obeys God and marries Gomer. You may not always agree with God and what he has picked out for you, but you got to learn to obey. If we want to be faithful followers, if he's going to be truly your Lord, you got to learn to obey. You should have been there. The wedding was nice. Pastor Jose and Gomer, they were up there in the front of the church. It's one of them nice little white churches with a little steeple on it and the wooden pews. No padding on them, of course. Just straight wooden pews. It was a nice day. There was people there from Israel and there was people there from Judea. They packed the place out. Now, I got to be honest. Everybody loved Pastor Hosea, but some of the people had some question about who he was marrying. They went downstairs for cake and ice cream, and they were all enjoying all that cake and punch and all that stuff. But the ladies were back in the back, and they were talking. They were clucking a little bit, if you know what I mean. They were talking about Pastor Hosea's wife a little bit. They had great concern of what's happening here. They didn't agree with Hosea's choice of women. And it was neat. Pastor Hosea go to Israel, and he would preach a sermon, and Gomer, she'd be playing the piano. He'd go to Judea and hold a revival over there, and Pastor Hosea, he'd preach, and Gomer, she'd sing. Everywhere one was at, the other was at. And Hosea obeys. The second, after a time, Gomer goes to Hosea and says, you know what, I'm feeling a little trapped. I need to get some air. I need some time alone. I miss my old friends. Pastor Hosea says, I'm not here to smother you. It's okay. You go out and catch yourself a breath of air. But as you go out to catch your breath of air, just remember whose you are. You're a child of God. So she goes out. And she starts spending a few hours with her friends. And then she starts going to some of the old places she used to go to that she shouldn't have been at. And it started out with a lunch and maybe a supper sometimes. And then it got into the evening time and then the evening hours. And it was getting late when she was coming home. And then there were some nights where Gomer didn't come home at all. And when she did come home, she was smelling like another man's cologne. One stocking up and one stocking down, one shoe on and one shoe off. And Pastor Hosea knew something was going on. And as that first child, it looked like Pastor Hosea, but if the second and third child looked like Pastor Hosea, it was purely by coincidence. Can you imagine how Hosea felt? Here he is a minister. He's supposed to be leading the church, speaking for God, and he can't even keep his own house in order. He can't even keep, all the town sees it, the whole church sees it. Can you imagine how hurt, how angry, the pain, the confusion, the betrayal? He looked like a fool. Can you imagine how Pastor Hosea felt? And God says, that's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I feel when you spend with you. That's how I feel. That's how I feel when you spend your time talking to everybody else, but you don't take time to talk to me. That's how I feel. That's how I feel when you take your money and you spend it on everything else, and if you got a couple nickels in your pocket and you bring it to me and put it in the plate, that's how I feel when I'm not number one with you. Maybe this would be an easier story if Pastor Hosea had been smacking Gomer around a little bit, or cheating on her, or was mean to her, said nasty things, but Pastor Hosea just loved her. He just loved his wife. He was kind to her. He protected her. He pulled her out of the crowd. And then she packs her bags. Get a hold of this, Kathy. She packs her bags, and she leaves. She packs her bags, and she takes Hosea, leaving him at home. and storms out the door as if Pastor Jose has done something wrong. This whole marriage is messed up, and it's because of one reason, and that one reason is Gomer. And I've got to stop here for a minute, because we got a lot of marriages messed up, and I think it's for the same reason. I think people are making the same mistake as Gomer made. In chapter 2, verse 5, let's get a hold of this. Matter of fact, let's read this together. I will go after who gives me my wool, my linen, my oil, and my drink. Y'all getting this? I read this, I will go after my lovers who give me my food, my water, my wool, my linen, my oil, my drink. Anything wrong with this passage? This is a married lady. This is a married lady, and she's saying, me, myself, and I. I thought married people said we, us, and ours. Let me say it this. She was selfish. And if you're selfish, single people, if you're selfish, don't get married. Don't get married. If you're selfish, just don't get married. Married life is not for you. The Bible says the two shall become what? The two shall become one. If you're selfish, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm going to tell you that ring and that marriage license will not change your attitude, your mindset, nor your mentality. I promise you that. Brothers, sisters, if they're selfish before they get married, they're going to be selfish after they're married as well. And personally, I wouldn't marry someone who's selfish. I wouldn't marry someone who was selfish. Get a hold of this. If you're looking for a spouse, make sure they're not selfish. The Bible tells us that two shall be one. Something wrong when the husband says, my house, and she says, my car. He says, my money, and she says, my clothes. He says, my stocks, and she says, my mutual funds. Something's wrong with that. Married folk, don't let selfishness creep into your marriages. Don't let selfishness creep into your marriages. I believe the number one reason for divorce, I could be wrong. I don't have any stats on this. Mike, you might have something. But I believe the number one reason for divorce is selfishness. I've done some counseling, but I find that selfishness ranks way up there at the top. Most things roll back to that issue. And in this story, I find myself being able to identify with Pastor Hosea. I've been hurt in my life. I've had people that weren't faithful to me. How about you? We all have had people that haven't been faithful. Should have been there, but wasn't there. When I read the Bible, I got to be honest with you. I got to be straight up with you. When I read the Bible, and I'm reading about Moses, I'm Moses. I got the stick in my hand. I'm opening up the Red Sea. I'm not one of those crybabies behind me crying, let's go back to Egypt. That's not me. I'm Moses. I got the stick in my hand. And when I read the Bible, when I read about David, man, I'm not one of his brothers up in the tent shaking and crying about Goliath. No, no, no. I got the slingshot. I got the bean flipper. I'm ready to take Goliath out. I'm ready to take him down. And when I read this story about Pastor Hosea, man, I started identifying with Pastor Jose, and I think about all the people who done me wrong, Johnny, all the people who cheated on me, lied about me, and I go through that, and then I realize I'm not Hosea. Who does Hosea represent? Hosea represents God. I promise you, I'm not God. And I promise you that you're not God either. Now, the hard part of this story is that only leaves one person. And who is that? Nobody wants to say it. I know. It's okay. Let's say it all together. It'll feel better. Gomer. In this story, I'm Gomer. In this story, you're Gomer. it's hard to think that I'm the adulterous one. It's hard to think that I'm the prostitute. It's hard to think that I'm the one who's unfaithful. And let me say, it hurts me to think I've done somebody like that. It hurts me to think that I've done somebody like that. But I think about all the times I should have been spending time with God, but I was doing my own thing. Anybody relate with that? I think about the times when I cried to everybody else but didn't cry to the Lord like I should have. I think about those times when, Jim, it just seemed like me and God were walking side by side. But there was other times in my life I wasn't walking quite as close as I should have been. Matter of fact, I wasn't close to God at all. And God didn't go anywhere. Jimmy Johnson went somebody. Maybe that doesn't apply to you, but it does me. There's times that I've wandered off course, and God was over here, and I was over here, and it wasn't because God was unfaithful. It was because Jimmy Johnson was unfaithful. It was because you were unfaithful, and we moved ourselves away from God. And that makes us Gomer. And the Bible says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Man, Mark, he comes every Sunday and he's hitting home runs. He's hitting line drives each Sunday. He preaches good sermons. Week after week, Mark hits good sermons. He preaches them right behind the pulpit. We're blessed to have Mark Fugate. We truly are. And let me say this. We come to church week after week and we hear the word explained to us by such a good preacher, and we go home and there's no change in our lives. Let me say, that makes us Gomer. And then I get to the third chapter of this. Now, this in Hosea chapter 3, it seems to be the shortest chapter, but it's not. When we get to chapter 3, even though it might be shorter, it is the biggest chapter in the book of Hosea when you start reading it. Maybe not so many verses, but what the content is huge. Chapter 3 is big because it's about love. And let me say, this verse will change my life. This verse will change your life. And God tells Hosea to go love your wife again. Go show your wife love again. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is after she cheated on him. This is after she made him look like a fool in front of the church. After she made him look like a fool after he was in front of the community. This is after everybody knew about the relationship. This was after she broke his heart. He says, go show your wife love again. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. How many times should he have to love his wife again? How many times should Hosea have to go show her love again? It says this, even though she commits adultery with another lover. You understand what it's saying here? God's saying, I know she's hanging on another man right now. That's what this is saying. I know that she's hanging on another man right now. I know that she's loving on somebody else right now. I know that her affection is going somewhere else right now. And he says, this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel. Israel was the people of God. Even though the people have turned to other gods and loved to worship them. Verse 2, this is powerful. Get a hold of this. So I, meaning Hosea, what did he do? He bought her back. When I think about this, he bought her back. She has prostituted herself out to the highest bidder, and Hosea comes in and looks at his wife. It didn't say go get her back. He had to go, what? Go buy her back. Whew. 50 pieces of silver and five bushels of barley and a measure of wine, Hosea went and he bought his wife back. He bought his wife back. And let me ask the question, who does Hosea represent, everybody? Nobody wants to say it. That's all right. That represents God. And I think about that, and that means I'm Gomer. And then I think, get a hold of this. I think about what Jesus did for me. I think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Knowing the price of our cheating, knowing the price of our adulterous ways, knowing the price of our sin. Jesus took a beating for us. He allowed them to put the nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He allowed them to put him on the cross. They shoved the thorns on his head, shoved it into his skull, and breathed his last breath. And this was the price of my cheating. This was the price of our adulterous ways, of our unfaithfulness. This was the price of our sin. So he bought us back. He bought us back. Now here's something to take away. Nobody here in this congregation, after hearing this story, after reading this, hearing this sermon, you should not leave here feeling unloved. You should not leave here feeling unloved. I'm humbled. I'm truly humbled that somebody loves me that much. How about you? That would have taken me back after all my cheating. You should leave feeling very, very loved. You should know that somebody loves you beyond measure. And he does. And he continues to. When we walk out of here, we should be filled with love all the way up. To know that somebody loves me like that, that would go that far to buy me back, even though I didn't deserve it. Let me say this verse. These two verses, they'll change your life. They will change your life.